Little bit of Peter this morning while we're together, and move on a little bit. Yeah, the fifth of these four, seven different themes we see here in 1 Peter chapter 2. And we'll pick up this morning at verse 11. And he's telling us here, he says, "Behold, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts, which wage war against the soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the things in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, on account of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation." This statement looks like he's talking to Jews, doesn't it? He says, keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles. But I'll show you another statement a little later where it looks like he's talking to Gentiles. So I think he's talking to everybody. But he's going on and said, look, guys, behave yourselves, act well in the world, abstain from sin, set a good example before non-believers, and, verse 13, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as one in authority or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. We're supposed to be in submission to our government. Whoa. Remember, we're going to look at the ideal here. We'll come back and talk about some of this in just a little bit. But our general behavior is be in submission to our governing authorities. And I know what you're thinking already, and we'll get to that in a while, but we're not there just yet. Let me remind you also of Romans chapter 13. What does Paul think about this? He says, let every person, Romans 13, 1, let every person be in subjection to the governing authorities. Same thing Peter said. For there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, he who resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. For rulers are not a cause for fear, for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For it, that is government, is a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing. For in it, it is the minister of God and an avenger who brings wrath upon the one who practices evil. Paul says the same thing in Romans 13.
Don, what about when the government is evil, promoting abortion?
You're jumping way ahead of me here.
I don't feel like I need to.
Let's get the principles down first, and then we'll talk about the exceptions, okay? If you look in the scriptures, what you find is that God has established a hierarchy of authority in four different areas of life. Sound familiar? And here's the four: the church, the home, area of employment, and government. Paul does the same thing in the book of Ephesians. We've been studying that on Sunday, so we've just been through the same thing on Sunday. These four areas of life are areas in which God has said, look, and by the way, they're not nearly as rigid as the straight lines would imply. They're kind of four interacting areas of life. But in these four areas, God has stepped into the affairs of men, into the society of men. He says, I want you guys to behave in a certain way in these four areas. And here's a picture of that. Same four areas that you see here, home, church, employment, and government, are the same four as was on that other chart. And Peter just mentioned something about this one here. He said in that one there, the government is invested by God with the authority to maintain law and order. And you citizens, you're to obey that government. So the ideal plan is that God invests human governments, and it doesn't say democracies. They can be other forms, and the same principle is true. The government is there to maintain law and order and to promote the well-being of its citizenry, and the citizens have to obey the government. That's the primary ideal plan. What did we do in the Revolutionary War? Did we obey our government in the Revolutionary War? We shot those suckers down. We killed them. If you were living in Boston in 1775, could you have loaded a musket and shot those redcoats because they were abusing you when the principle you lived by said you're supposed to be in submission to them? A dilemma. And what Peter's going to talk about here are these four areas. All four of them. He addresses all four of them. And I'll tell you ahead of time, and then we'll look into detail next week when we get back into this thing. In every one of these, somebody is in authority, and somebody is in submission to that authority. God has given the Father divine authority to be the head of the house, the head of the home. He's the man. He's the head honcho. And the wife has been instructed by God to be in submission to him. Paul says the same thing as Peter. We'll get into these sections as we go on through this part of the book. Verse 1 of chapter 3, just to show you I'm not making this up. The same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. Wives are to be in submission to their own husbands. And we'll see later that husbands are supposed to love their wives unconditionally the way Christ loved his church. Children are to be in subjection to both of them. So the general pattern is that divine authority flows to certain members of certain facets of society. Other members of that facet of society are to be in submission to that authority, and others even in submission to both of them. And the same thing is true here. The same thing is true. I'm stretching this one a little bit, calling it employer and employees. It's actually slaves and masters, but we'll talk about principles, and they can be applied, if we're careful, into this area. And we just saw him talk about this one here. When the rapture occurs and all the believers leave, who enforces the law? Who can be in submission to a government? By the way, there's no believers here, so they ain't going to pay attention to any of this. But how does anybody live in submission to a governing authority other than by a Christian principle? You think the non-believers that are going to be left at that time are going to submit themselves to the governing authorities and to the police forces and so on? A few people may still be law-abiding, but in general, there won't be any law and order. Lawlessness will increase, the Lord said. Try to go down to Walmart and get you a bag of potatoes when there's no law and order between you and them. It'd be a miracle for you to get down there and back alive.
May not be any potatoes either.
May not even be any potatoes there when you get there. So we'll get back into this next week when we start off in Peter again and work our way through these four areas. And this is going to be an ideal discussion at first. And then we'll talk a little bit about the rare instances in which we don't achieve the ideal. How about if the husband's using wifey for a punching bag? You supposed to submit to your husband if he does that? What is your reason for not doing that? What if your government is abusive enough of you that you think you need to take up arms and start shooting them? Bunker Hill. What if the elders of your church are permitting and allowing and encouraging unsound doctrine? Do you have to be in submission to them? What is your reason for not being in submission to them? So we'll talk through these things. But the point is, and Peter's pointing this out to us, that God has established some order in the areas of life, in the functioning of societies, and if we apply God's principles, everything will work. If we get close to achieving the ideal, everything works. Happy families, husbands and wives that get along great, children that are in subjection to them and obedient and are leaving a good impression of their parents to people. Things work when you follow the divine principle. And what happens when you don't? 50% divorce rate. Fatherhood becoming a joke in many subcultures. Things go bad in a hurry when you don't follow divine principle. But when you do, they work. So we'll pick this trail up next time here in 1 Peter chapter 2. And he's talking about the governments first. Then he'll move on to masters and slaves. Then he'll move on to husbands and wives. And later in chapter 5, he moves on to the elders. So he talks about all four of these areas in this book. Paul does the same thing. Paul's message and Peter's message is the same. They just occur in different places. It's kind of like the spiritual gifts. You got to go to two or three different places and put them all in a pile to get all of it. This is the same way. We kind of need to get several different passages all piled together. But we'll see that when we go on next time. Probably didn't talk enough about it to even have a question, but go ahead, Bessie.
You know, I can't hear. You said we pick up next week. Where? Chapter 3, right?
No, where we are here with Peter talking about the governments.
So we don't go back to...
We'll pick up at 2:11
okay.
And work our way down through the detail of what he says. I'm kind of giving you a sneak preview of what he's talking about, and we're looking at the whole principle instead of just one thing at a time. That's why I showed you those two charts with those organizations on them. Divinely established roles of authority and submission to authority. Divinely established, not humanly established. These are not man-made laws and rules for how to live. This is what God has said. If you don't like the rules, go tell God. I'm sure he will be impressed by your dislike. He might even consider changing them. You're so important. Any other questions or comments? Okay, well, we'll see you next Thursday, and we'll get back into the scriptures a little more heavily. We left the rails this morning for a little while, but we'll get back at it next week.